to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. We believe in biblical separation. Why? Well, because the Bible teaches it. What does that mean? That means being separate from sin. We read from 1 John last week. Jesus says, John, through John there, he says that he desires for his children that they sin not. Sin is a bad thing. It's not something that God desires in our life. It's something that God has given us by his grace and spirit the ability to get victory over in our life. It is not our friend, it is our enemy. But praise God, where the law was weak and that it could not help us, grace is greater. And he that lives on us is greater than he that lives in the world, and we have victory in Jesus Christ. We need to claim that victory. We need to fight with the strength and the armor of God that he has given us against the wiles of the devil, the lusts of the flesh, the temptation of the world. Why? That's what we want to answer this morning. Why should we do that? Why should we live separated lives? Why should we sanctify ourselves in the Lord? Why should we separate ourselves from sin and temptation and worldliness, from false teaching? Why should we not be unequally yoked together? We covered that a couple weeks ago. Why is this important? You know, I have to go to the doctor tomorrow. I don't like going to the doctor. I can think of 10,000 things I would rather do than go to the doctor. So for the last 2 weeks, my blood pressure medication has been running out. And I have been arguing with myself about going to the doctor. And I've been putting off and procrastinating, calling the doctor and making an appointment. But I'm at the end of my medication. So the day came, I called the doctor, I set up an appointment. Why? Well, first and foremost, because I need my blood pressure medication. It's the only medication I take, praise the Lord. But it is one that I seem to need for some reason. And so because of that, I made an appointment. There was a very good why. Reason why I should do that. There's a very good reason why we need to exercise, me in particular. We sometimes come up with reasons why we shouldn't exercise rather than why we should. But we might ask that question, and some of you fortunately choose to take the right action and exercise. Why? Well, because it's healthy, because it's good for you. I was speaking with a young person not long ago on why they should go off to college, particularly a Christian college. And I listed several reasons why I thought it would be a good thing for them to go to a good Christian college. They had questions. They wanted to know why. Is there anything wrong with wanting to know why? No, nothing wrong with that at all. I had to go by a car a few years ago, and I had to make a decision. Did I want to get a new car or a used car? And I had to go through the reasons why. One of the big reasons was this: I can't afford a new car. Therefore, why would be I need to buy a car that I can afford. So I bought a not too old used car that hopefully I won't have to have in the shop every month like my other car. No, actually, the Lord's been good with our other car. It's 26 years old, and hadn't been in the shop for a while. So, we choose to do certain things or make certain choices based upon the answer to one simple question: why? So is the case in our spiritual life. So here is why you should be holy this morning, why you should be separated, why you should be set apart in your life to the service and the will of your heavenly Father. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians 3 near the end. But look, if you would, in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. And this passage, if you've been coming for the past few weeks, ought to be familiar to you, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, now he's talking to the redeemed in Christ Jesus, those who are the children of God through faith, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, that's before you came to Christ, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the what? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Lord, thank you for your word today. Lord, may you use it mightily in our life and in our heart, Lord, to change us into the image of your Son. Lord, help us to be able to focus for just a few minutes today and allow you to work. We pray the Holy Spirit would get a hold of our heart, Lord, that we would open ourselves up to you, that you do would change us, that this morning would be an important time in our life. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you that we can be here today to worship you and learn together from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Why? Why should we be holy? Why should we be set apart from sin? Why should we be sanctified? Reason number one, because your Father is holy. Because your Father is holy. That's what it says here in this passage. Be ye holy for what? For I am holy. God wants us to be like who? He wants us to be like Him. Now, I like for my sons to be like me, for the most part. There's a few parts I wish they'd do a little better at. Maybe keep their hair. That'd be nice. And a few other things as well. But in general, fathers like their sons to be like them. That's also true of our Heavenly Father. He wants His children to be like Him. And there are no parts of Him like there are of me that He would not want us to be like. For He is perfect, and He is what? He is holy. And He wants us to be like Him. And if you will let Him, He will help you to do that. He will help you, child of God, to be more like Him. Reason number one. Reason number two, because your Lord commands it. The verses we read in 1 Peter, be ye holy for I am holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct. Those are in the imperative. That means they are commands. God has commanded that we be holy. God has commanded that we be set apart from sin. God has commanded that we be set apart under the service of our Lord and King. God has commanded these things of His children. He expects it of us. And He, as our Lord, has every right to command it. And we, as His servants, should do what? Should obey Him. Why should we be holy? Why should we be sanctified and set apart in our every aspect of our life? Because He commands it. Our Heavenly Father expects it. He has requested that we do so. That should be enough. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His what? His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome, or they're not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable for our Heavenly Father to expect us to be like Him. It isn't unreasonable that the God who has saved us by His grace should expect us to eschew, which means avoid sin in our life, and to serve Him. That's not unreasonable. And how do we show Him that we love Him? By our obedience. By our obedience. We sing a little song with the kids. It goes, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. You want to demonstrate your faith? Then obey His commands. One of His commands is that we be holy. Number three, why? Because our Father is holy. Two, because our Lord commands it. Three, because we are bought with a price. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, we're going to read verses 18 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. I'll give you a second to find that, seeing I don't have it up here. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. That's another word for immorality. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Bible says, reason number three, why we should be holy, why we should be set apart and separated in our life, because we are bought with a price, with an incredible price. The price with which God purchased us was the suffering and death of His Son, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, on the cross, not for His sins, but for whose? But for ours. What a price God paid to redeem us back who were lost in trespasses and in sins. We are bought with a price. And therefore, if we have been bought, we have been redeemed with the price of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, to whom do we belong? We belong to God. He is our Father. He is our Lord. And He is our owner. He has bought us with a price. And therefore, He has every right to expect us to do that which pleases Him. Because we belong to whom? We belong to Him. I love, there's a song in the hymn book. Thought about singing it this morning, but I decided on Nearer, Still Nearer. The song is, Now I Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. You and I, Christian, we belong to Jesus. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we need to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are His. A few years back, I mentioned earlier, to buy a car. I expected that car to do what it is supposed to do. And I expect it today. It's supposed to run to get me from point A to point B. The AC is supposed to work, especially in Florida. It has AC. The AC needs to work, because it gets hot here in the summer. It has Bluetooth. I don't know if you're familiar with Bluetooth. My newer car has Bluetooth. And when I get in, I expect my phone to connect to Bluetooth so that when people call, I can answer it hands-free and I don't have to mess with my phone. I expect the accelerator when I push on it to make the car go faster. And when I hit the brake, I expect it to what?
Stop.
Okay? Now, why do I expect those things? Because I bought my car. It belongs to me. It has a purpose. I bought it to get me from point A to point B, and I expect it to run. Now, every now and then, it doesn't run, and my expectations are not met. Have you ever bought a car that was a lemon? Anybody bought a car that was a lemon? You bought it, and you took it home, and it wasn't long before it croaked. Were you happy? Probably not. Because you paid a good price for that car. I bought a car. I bought a Sable. What make is that? I forget. Mercury Sable. I bought it. This was several years ago. It was all black. Had all black interior. Why I did that, I have no idea. I lived in Georgia at the time. It's almost as hot there as it is here. But it was a pretty car. Ran nice. Had leather interior. Had a sunroof, moonroof. You could put about... work back. It was all digital, coolest car I ever owned. When I was trying it out, it seemed like the transmission did something just a little bit quirky, and I asked them, oh, we've had it all checked out. 2 months later, guess what the transmission did? Broke. And of course, I bought it as is, and they wouldn't cover anything. $2,000-and-something transmission. My wonderful car had a fancy, expensive transmission. Wasn't it great? I wasn't happy. I paid money for that car. I expected it to run at least for a few months. We are bought with a price. God who made us, he made us, created us. I didn't create that car. He created me. He created us, made us for a purpose, to glorify him, fellowship with him, to serve him. And then he sent his son to redeem us when we were lost in sin. And he not only created us, but then he paid for us with his blood on the cross. And he owns us. And he has every right to expect us to live for him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and be proved as a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says to the Christians he's writing, he says, you, my brethren, I plead with you. Don't sit back on your laurels and say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I don't have to serve the Lord. You're missing the point. God saved you to serve him. God changed you so you can serve him. And God expects you to serve him. It is your what kind of service? Reasonable service. It's reasonable to serve the one who paid such a price for me. Why should we be holy? One, our Father is holy. Two, our Lord commands it. Three, because we are bought with a price. Four, because grace makes it possible. God's grace, we looked at from Romans 6 last week. God's grace has made it possible, not by the law, but by the transforming power of God. We have been freed from the bonds of sin and the law to serve God by grace, by his might and power. It says in Romans 8, 3 and 4, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. The law, the Old Testament, was insufficient to change the what? To change the heart. But God's grace is sufficient. And he, by grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood on the cross, has given me his Spirit, has showed me his grace, and can give me victory. He has changed my heart. He will change my life. He has sealed me until the day of redemption. Praise God, he is mine and I am his. And grace tells me that I can overcome sin in my life. It is now possible. It is now possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of to what? Escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What does God's word say? And God says, I can escape. There is a way to victory over a sin in my life that I'm struggling with, over a sin that you're struggling with. Don't listen to the lies of the devil that you can't beat that sin, that you can't stop that sin, that God can't change your life. Yes, he can. With God, all things are what? Possible. There is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. It is possible. Grace has made it so. Why should we be holy? Because our Father is holy. Why should we be holy? Because our Lord commands it. Why should we be holy? Because we are bought with a price, and because grace makes it what? Possible. Number five, because of your testimony before others. Why should you be separated from sin and unto God in your life and all manner of conduct and lifestyle? Because other people are what? They're watching you. You name the name of Christ. Jesus said you need to depart from iniquity. Other people are watching you, Christian, to see if you're any different from them. What do your neighbors see? What does your coworker see? What does your relative? Are you any different, or are you just the same as they are in how you conduct your life, in your goals and your desires? Do they see a difference? Should they? Yes. If you're a child of God, there's something, must need to be something radically different. It begins in your heart, but it must come out in your life. And they should see that. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If you can't do it to the glory of God, well, then you probably shouldn't be what? You probably shouldn't be doing it. You probably shouldn't be doing it. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to look at just one more passage under this point, and we'll get to the last one. 1 Peter 2:11-12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, your conduct, honest among the Gentiles. Here he means the Gentiles who are yet unsaved. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What does Peter say? Peter says, brethren, they're watching you. Be careful what you do. Be careful that your testimony is one that points them to the cross, that points them to Christ, that shows them that God makes a what? Difference. And not a lifestyle in which when they stand before the great white throne judgment, that they will point to you and say, well, they didn't say anything. They didn't live any different. Live the kind of life that points people to Christ in what you do and in what you say, because they're watching us. Why should I be holy? Because God is watching and others are watching. Is there anything wrong with watching a football game? Now, if you say yes, just keep your hand down. All right. All right. Let's say there's nothing wrong with watching a football game. Is there anything wrong with watching the football game with other people? No. Anything wrong with drinking, we'll say a lemonade. I was going to say Coca-Cola, but some of you might say that's wrong. All right. Say drinking a lemonade. No? Nothing wrong with any of those. Anything wrong with going out to eat? Long as you don't do it all the time, and you get to a little bit like me. However, this pastor does not go sit at Hooters at the bar and drink lemonade. Why not? Anything wrong with drinking lemonade? Anything wrong with going to a restaurant? Anything wrong with watching a football game? Why you drink lemonade at a restaurant? Why don't I go to Hooters and sit at the bar and drink lemonade? Because other people are what? They're watching. What kind of message am I sending if they see me sitting at Hooters at the bar, drinking a lemonade, watching a football game? They don't know that that's lemonade. Maybe it's pink lemonade. It looks more like something else. I happen to like pink lemonade. You see, be careful. what you do because other people are watching. And it does matter. Paul said, I am all things to all men, that I might all means save some. Paul said, I give up my liberties in some cases because it's worth it if I can reach one more person for Jesus Christ. I do not feel that I'm missing out by not watching a ball game at the bar at Hooters in any way, shape, or form. I enjoy watching ball games at home with my family and my friends and drinking my lemonade and not ruining my what? My testimony. That's right. And then finally, number six. Why should you be holy? For your own good. For your own good. You know that which is for God's glory also works for your own good. It does. It does. Why should I be holy? Because my Father's holy, because my Lord commands it, because we're bought with a price, because grace makes it possible, because of our testimony before others, and because it's for our own good. Look, if you would, here, 1 Corinthians 10:23. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, Paul isn't talking about murder. He's not talking about stealing. He's not talking about lying. Not talking about things that are clearly against the nature of God and declared to be sin in Scripture. Not talking about those things. He's talking about other things. For instance, as a Jew, he's talking about probably eating pork. Now, under the Mosaic law, Jews were not supposed to what? Eat pork. But he's not under the law. He's now under what? Grace. Can he eat pork? Yes. Should he eat pork all the time? Probably not. Probably not a good idea. Should he eat pork with his Jewish friends? Probably not. Probably not. Sends the wrong message. You see, Paul said there are some things that are lawful, but they're not necessarily beneficial. They don't build me up. You say, well, how about, friends, let's take the issue of music. What kind of music do you listen to on a regular basis? Do you listen to music that uplifts you and benefits you in your thinking, your heart, and your actions? Or do you listen to music that pumps into our minds the philosophy of the world and temptation to think about things that are not honoring to God? Well, maybe it's lawful, but is it what? Beneficial, expedient, edifying to listen to music or watch entertainment that is constantly filling our mind full of things that are pulling us down spiritually rather than what? Than building us up, you see. Paul says, I choose to do those things which build me up. It is for my own what? It is for my own good. If I choose to do the opposite things, they have consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. If you choose to go and to drink alcohol day after day, week after week, year after year, it's going to destroy brain cells. It's going to destroy liver cells. It's going to do other things. It has its natural consequences. It isn't that God is judging you. I'm going to punish him and give him cirrhosis of liver. No, that is something that naturally happens as a result of what? Drinking alcohol. So choose not to drink it. I have to worry about that particular consequence, you see. Honoring God and being holy benefits us. Ignoring God and not being holy brings what? Consequences. Okay? Blessing versus chastening. Blessing versus chastening. Before you read that, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? The law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his leaf in his season, his the fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the world, but in the counsel of the Word of God. He will be blessed. However, if we choose to ignore the Word of God and walk in the counsel of the world, we choose not to be separated from sin, to be holy, then, rather than God blessing us, God does what? He chastens us. He disciplines us. As ye have forgotten the exhortation, was speaking unto you as children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? What does that tell us? When we are harboring sin in our life, when we are not being separated from sin and honoring the Lord in our life, God says, I love you enough that I'm going to chasten you to try to get you to see the error of your way before you face the consequences. But God's chastening is not always pleasant, is it not? No. So do you want his blessing or you want his chastening? Blessing. They're both good for you. Chastening, blessing. Which one's more pleasant? The blessing. That's right. Not the chastening. We have no need to fear his chastening hand if we are living for him. If we are confessing our sins. If we're forsaking our sins. If we're being set apart in our life. But if we're not confessing, forsaking, and honoring him, if we allow sin to bubble up in our life and don't deal with it, then God says, I'm not going to just let you be eat up by it. I'm going to try to turn you around. And that may not be pleasant. And then finally, we come full circle back here. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 3 again to finish. 1 Corinthians 3. Why should we be holy? For our own good. Benefits versus consequences. Blessings versus chastening. Reward versus what? Loss. Reward versus loss. And again, we're talking to the child of God. We're talking to Christians this morning. Primarily, Matthew 5 says this. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your what? Reward in heaven. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where none of those things happen. Not only, child of God, are you going to heaven, but you have the opportunity to earn great reward on top of just being there. But that all depends on you. That all depends on me. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as we close, there is a judgment for the child of God. This isn't the great white throne judgment where the lost will be cast in the lake of fire because their names are not written in the book of life. These are for those whose names are written in the book of life. We too will stand before God at a different judgment. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yeah, there it is. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, of salvation through Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones on the one hand, or wood, hay, or stubble on the other, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be what? Saved. Yet so as by fire. So here is the picture. This is an illustration that God is giving to help us to understand what this judgment will be like. We will be judged based upon if we have lived to the glory of who? God. And what we have done to the glory of who? the glory of God. And if those things we have done to the glory of God, they are gold, silver, and precious what? Stones. The things that we have done to the glory of self, the things we have done in gratifying the lusts of the flesh, they are what? Wood, hay, and stubble. And the fire will test the gold, silver, and precious stones. Fire only makes them more pure, only makes them shine brighter. But fire will burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble. And it'll all go up in what? Smoke. One day you and I will stand before God, Christian, and we'll give an account. When our life is tried before the Bema seat, it's a seat of reward, not of judgment. When we stand before God to receive our rewards, will we have crowns to lay at His feet? Because we honored and served Him, lived a separated life, glorified His name? Or did we do it all for self? And we'll see it all go up in what? Smoke. Which do you want it to be? Six reasons this morning why we need to learn to be holy, why we need to separate ourselves from sin, from that which defiles, and to the service of our Savior. Because our Father is holy. Because our Lord commands it. Because we are bought with a price. Because grace makes it possible. Because of our testimony before others. And finally, for our own good. For one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Will we make it in by the skin of our teeth? Or will we have many crowns to lay at His feet? That depends upon what we do with Jesus and His Word and His Spirit, and allow Him to transform us into His image. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this day, for Your Word, for what You did for us. And Lord, I preached to Christians this morning, but Lord, there may be some here who don't know Jesus as Savior. And first and foremost, Lord, it is vital that they come to You for salvation, that they be saved by grace, or else they won't stand at this judgment, they'll stand at another. They'll be lost forever. There is only one way of salvation through Jesus Christ, and Lord, we pray, as You are the way, the truth, and the life, that if there's one here today that's never come to You to receive You as their Lord and Savior, pray that they'd come as we sing this hymn of invitation. And Lord, we who are Christians today, I pray that we would not quickly forget this sermon or Your Word, but we might hide it in our heart, Lord. And that if there is something, Lord, that You pointed to, that we would deal with that even now as we pray and as we sing. Lord, they would come. And pray up here, Lord, if You would desire to be so. Lord, thank You for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.